This is Tom Warren inviting you to listen to 5 Gospel Minutes. Today I want to study with you about one of the greatest topics that the human mind can address itself to, and that is the love of God. There is nothing about which I or anyone else could speak that ought to mean more to you than the fact that God loves you. Now, God loves you, but I want to talk to you about the qualities of God's love. In John chapter 3, verse 16, in what many have come to regard, and I think rightly so, the golden text of the Bible, we find these really awe-inspiring words. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then there is a passage, however, that sort of counterbalances that. It's one that you must understand in order to understand John 3:16. In Romans chapter 11 and verse 22, the Apostle Paul says, "Behold then the goodness and severity of God. Toward them that fell, severity, but toward thee, God's goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off." Now note that to understand the love of God, you must understand the severity of God's love, as well as its tenderness. Now God is severe, and God is good. So then, let us address ourselves to the qualities of the love of God. First of all, I want to suggest to you that the love of God has the quality of being universal. By that I mean it's addressed to everybody. There are no human beings who have ever lived on this earth, who live now, or ever will live, that God does not love. Sometimes it's easy for us, those of us perhaps who live in fairly nice houses and have good jobs, and who have the respectability of the community, we tend to think that God may not love those of other nations, or who are more poor than we, who are not as well educated. But the Bible teaches that God loves everybody. Back again to the passage in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." That's everybody. That's rich and poor. That's black and white, brown and yellow. Whatever color, whatever race. All of us, as a matter of fact, of course, go back to Adam and Eve. We all go back to Noah's family. There is a sense in which every human being on this earth is therefore kin to one another. We may not be real close kin, like brother and sister in the same family, or grandparents, or great-grandparents, but we all have the same ancestors, for God created one man and one woman, and we all have come from them. And as we come to love God, we come to love one another more. You cannot really love God as you ought without loving your fellow man, and this is one of the great lessons to learn about the love of God. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20, the Bible makes clear that if you do not love your brother whom you have seen, you cannot love God whom you have not seen. But you know, I'm afraid there are many people who give themselves credit for being great lovers of God who are haters of their fellow man, and the Bible makes clear these two things just do not go together. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible says, "The grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men." And in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, tasted of death for every man. Now that means that God loved you as an individual. He loved everybody else, but today I want to emphasize the fact that God loved you enough to give his Son to die for you. And Jesus loved you enough to lay down his life, as he taught in John 10, verses 16 and 17. "Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friend." God loves you, the Lord Jesus Christ loves you, and every true Christian loves you and wants you to be saved. But our time's gone for today. I'm glad you've been with us. I hope you'll be back with us next time as we continue our study of the qualities of the love of God. Until then, may God bless and keep you, is my prayer.